Welcome back to the JK Moto Podcast, a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday motorcyclist, covering current bike and racing news, specializing in track riding and club racing. We truly do it all. And this week, once again, we are brought to you by Working Class Customs, which is a custom fabrication shop out of Northern Utah. And you can direct any more questions on that to Cole.
I'm Cole.
That's Cole, and this is Easton, your hosts. I was about to say your two favorite hosts, which would have made sense, but then I messed it up. So your two favorite hosts of your favorite motorcycle podcast. Yep,
he says. How you been there? You a little busy this week?
Yeah, you know, life changes, things happen, and you get a little busy, and but that's all right. We keep rolling. Can't stop the pod.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah, can't stop motorcycling, that's for sure. Speaking of that, real quick, since we're not stopping, you guys shouldn't stop. Click the subscribe button down below if you're on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, click that download or follow or whatever button it might be. We are on both platforms / all the platforms. If you want to just listen, head over to your favorite podcast platform and listen. If you want to listen and watch, we have a show of some sort. You can watch us on YouTube or, you know, put it in the background, whatever you want to do. But there are also other videos on the YouTube channel, so go check that out. And go follow us on Instagram. At JK Moto Podcast. If you have any questions throughout listening or just track related, club racing related, USBA related specific questions, send them over to at JK Moto Podcast. We will answer any and all questions. That is my soapbox for tonight.
My gosh, I'm glad you're done with the soapbox.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, I'm glad you're here. You're supposed to remind me, like, pump the brakes.
Oh, sorry. Pump the brakes. Was that too late?
Maybe just a little bit.
All right. Next time I'll be on the ball.
Well, hey, with that, I feel like we should just keep this week a secret and roll straight into the intro.
Hang on through the intro and you can get that writing tip.
We will bring you the writing tip, your weekly writing tip, right after the intro. So stick around.
Yesterday at one point, I was in sick.
And we're back
and we're still live.
Yes, I'm not doing it.
Oh man, it's like our signature, you know. We got this like intro and all this other stuff, and the actual is we're live.
You almost got me.
I did. Can't stop, won't stop. Well, anyway, hey, thanks everyone for sticking around. I'll go ahead and give you this week's riding tip, which is once again brought to you by Bittinger Motorsports. Let's see. Here we go. All right. Ergo is step one. A quick pause on the riding tip. That threw me for a loop. Ergonomics. Unpause. Ergo is step one. When you test drive a car at a dealership, what's the first thing you do when you sit down? Adjust the seat, the mirrors, etc. Why don't we do this with our bikes? Having 200 horsepower is meaningless if your bike doesn't fit you and you can't hold on to it. Adjustable rear sets, clip-ons, possibly a race seat, and stomp grip should be the first things you do unless your body fits the factory settings perfectly. And that is this week's riding tip from Josh Bittinger down at Bittinger Motorsports. They operate out of MSRH Houston. The H stands for Houston, but go check them out. Link will be down in the description.
Well, not to take away from that, but...
But?
The first time you test drive a car, is that like a rental car or...
I mean, I would argue first time you get into any car. Like, it's not it's a, that that's...
Well, if it's a rental car, I always look for the emergency brake first.
Okay, well, that's a different story. But, yeah. You threw me off. No, I mean, it's normal, right? If you can't reach the pedals, you can't drive the car. If you can't see behind you, you're not going to be able to really drive. I mean, sometimes... There's been times I've definitely gotten in a car, and I'm, like, driving down the road, and then I look in my mirror, and I'm like, what is that? And it's just the side of the car or the sky. You got to readjust, but...
No, when you give the weekly riding tip, I'm hearing it for the first time also.
Correct.
And that gave me a moment of pause, you know, all smart aleckness aside. That's true. I mean, you know, I'm a guy that rents a lot of cars. That's definitely the first thing I do is not look for the e-brake because most of them are electronic push buttons anymore. But
can't e-brake slide anymore.
Yeah, I'll usually hop in there and adjust the mirrors, you know, adjust the seat, of course. And, you know, just thinking that through, when somebody says, hey, hop on my bike, give her an old test drive, I don't think I adjust anything.
Nope. No, and to be fair, like, you get in a car, rental car, you adjust your seat, you reach down and just move the seat. Now, I'll be honest, if I'm driving someone else's car, I feel real bad when I do that. And I try and, like, just move it forward and back. I'm like, hey, I'm moving your seat up, and I'm not going to touch anything else because you got to put it back and whatever. And on a bike, it definitely takes more to make those adjustments. But, you know, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, how many dealers across the country, and you guys listening, chime in down in the comments, let us know how many of you have been to a dealership and the dealer, before you leave, is like, all right, let's get these levers. Because you can adjust all levers up and down, at least. Maybe not in and out. You have to get aftermarket for that. Rear sets might not be adjustable. You have to get aftermarket. But you can definitely move levers up and down and at least have that adjusted correctly. Some bikes do come with adjustable rear sets aftermarket, or if you're buying a used bike that already has them. But I don't think I've ever heard of any. That's like something that people learn like 3 years into riding on the road. At the racetrack, I feel like it comes a lot quicker. But on the road, you're like 3 or 4 years in and someone's like, hey, you ever thought about adjusting that brake lever so you can reach it easier? And you're like, what are you talking about? And then you move it.
I'm going with 0%.
I'm not taking that bet. But yeah, let us know down in the comments if any of you have any different experience, or any of you that might be working at a dealer or dealership, if you guys have a different outlook on that, or what your thoughts and opinions are on that. That is a good topic. But yeah.
Well, I know the Harley Davidson dealerships back in the day. I seen it. The Harley Davidson dealerships, at least back in the day, I mean, they're not gonna adjust that for a test ride, but I know they used to have all those like stations or stands that would have 3 or 4 different seats on them, so you could jump from seat to seat to see what, you know, because it's quite common. I'm not sure anybody buys a Harley without modding something on it.
Yeah,
whether it's a taller handlebars or, you know, bigger, softer seat or some
chrome
gold. Live Free or Die Hard Eagle something or other.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Christmas movie.
Yeah. You know, I was going to ask you about that. Being a Harley guy, I was going to ask if a Harley dealer would be more likely, but I wonder, does it only feel like they're more likely because they are just selling more, trying to sell more things to you? You know, you go in and you buy a $30,000 bike and here, you need another $10,000 worth of stuff.
Yeah, that's where the profit margins are, I think, is in the add-ons they can get you to throw on it on the way out the door.
Yeah, that makes sense from that aspect. But anyway, to take that tip on board, if you're a newer rider and you're listening to this podcast and you haven't heard about adjusting all of those things, your levers, handlebars, another thing, clip-ons, but your levers, you can move them up and down. And you can also, if you get adjustable, that's where most people will move them in and out. So closer or further away from the handlebar, where you can move them up and down so you're not reaching like up and around the lever to grab it. Moving your rear sets, I know you've had a lot of experience with that, or maybe not a lot, but you got some aftermarket and one day you're like, I'm going to move these, and you moved them and you're like, that actually made a huge difference.
Yeah,
kind of got them dialed in after that.
Yeah, it's crazy what kind of difference rear sets can make. Less on the levers, but most bikes nowadays do come with adjustable levers, I think, at least for your in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's an easy click. Quick thing you can change on most bikes when you hop on. I don't know. Interesting. Ergos are important.
Sure are. I've also never heard ergo before, Josh, but I like that. I mean, I'm going to start using that. Did you check your ergo, man? I like that.
Oh, man, you gotta get edumacated.
Well, you know, I don't hang out with people, so I just hang out in the stable with the bikes.
There you go. That's fair. Okay, have we lollygagged enough so that we can talk about the biggest news in the history of the world that is not actually news yet, but it's just more rumors, but it still plays?
Oh, here we go. Cole with the rumor mill.
Hey, there's been some stuff going on behind the scenes, and I know that half the people out there think I'm crazy, half the people don't.
BMW is coming to MotoGP.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my goodness. Is that actually where we're going right now?
That's actually where we're going. That was a good guess. How long have I been saying it?
How did I know? How did I guess that, audience? You guys.
So there was some confirmation this week.
Okay.
That the conversation had at least been had, which that alone tells me that my mind is on the right track. Okay. So it has came out this week that MotoGP, or Dorna rather, was in fact speaking with BMW about taking those Suzuki spots.
Mm-hmm.
They opted not to at this time, but Dorna is still, you know, talking to them, pressuring them. The BMW has made a statement saying how valuable their relationship with Dorna is. As you've expressed many times, they're getting plenty of publicity just running M series cars around the track.
Yep. Safety car.
But BMW has said it is not ruled out, and the timeline might be a little different than I had hoped, but we have a major rule change. Everybody's kind of hanging on for that 2027. 2027 is the next year that MotoGP, they can completely revamp the rules, meaning they could make everybody ride 600s.
Okay, so big things, yeah.
Big things. You can change anything.
Get rid of aero.
Yeah. I think that's something that's been thrown out on the table a couple times too. You know, teams saying we should restrict this, or, you know,
right.
Two different camps, two different schools of thought. But, but yeah, at the very least, I feel vindicated a little bit that they, yeah, strong words. I know.
Yeah, big word.
Yep. It's got more letters than ergo.
Five letters, it's my max. I can't do more than that.
I think that's pretty cool. That gives me hope.
Yeah.
They also talked about Aprilia when they first came back to MotoGP. They graduated their World Superbike straight over and started there platform wise.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that BMW and what they're doing in World Superbike right now is laying a groundwork for a bike that could be brought over.
So that's why the wings are so stupid big on the M1000 RR. Well, so I have Googled this question before, and since you're bringing it up again, I decided to Google it once again, and I Googled, is BMW entering MotoGP? Now, once again, we do pride ourselves on being a mostly non-rumor mill podcast, so we will specify that these are rumors, or we'll specify what's rumors and what isn't. As Cole mentioned, right, they are not officially going to MotoGP, but apparently that conversation has happened. So, not a rumor. Anyway, I Googled it. First thing that came up, the first 7 words, BMW is closely looking at entering MotoGP and expanding its motorsport division in the coming years, according to new CEO Marcus Flash. So that's from motorsport.com, us.motorsport.com, MotoGP news, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I mean, it looks like you heard it here first,
yeah,
months ago.
You should just listen to me.
Everything
I say is based in reality.
So now that just brings up that, like, when?
2027. We need more flavors on the grid, though.
Yeah. Well, so this article is saying that MotoGP is set to switch to smaller capacity 850cc engines and introduce fully sustainable fuel in 2027, which are two major changes it hopes will attract another brand to the series. Interesting. Smaller bikes. Mm. They said less power. They listened to the Ducati guy who said less power would actually make the bikes faster.
Boo.
Yeah, we don't want that. We want 2,000 cc's. Give us the power.
2,000 cc's and no aero.
Yeah. Make the bikes unrideable again, so they have to prove that they can ride it. Ugh. All right. Well, I like that news. That was better than I thought it was going to be. It's good.
The funnier story from you, or for you, the funnier story for you,
mm-hmm,
Yami Noob had a new video talking about the GSX-8R or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the reason Suzuki's making that is because they're putting that same engine in small cars over in Japan. So you can go buy you a GSX 8R smart car or some crap.
Okay. That's funny. Hey, hey, you know what? That? Why not? If it works.
You know, a little education for you since you're, you know, a youngin' and everything.
Yeah, and I don't know what ergo is.
Then you don't know what ergo is. But motorcycles, engines in cars was not in the early days of Honda. In the early days of Honda cars, you know, before they became the monster that they are today. If you look back, a lot of early Suzuki, Honda, a lot of Japanese vehicles were absolutely powered by motorcycle engines when they first came out. And you, even the shift patterns, if you're ever at a car show and you see some of those old Hondas, go check them out. They'll have a, you know, one down, the rest are up shift pattern,
sequential gearbox
in your hand. You had to go one forward and then back.
That's kind of sweet. That actually sounds so cool. And then there's Yamaha and they were like, you guys want a piano?
Pianos.
Yeah.
Yeah, they ought to go back to building pianos from the looks of it.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into too much MotoGP. I was going to mention something, and I guess we can go ahead and knock it out. I'm not going to mention the man that shall not be named, because all I get on my Facebook anymore is article after article after article of the man that should not be named. And
Golden Underwear?
Yeah, that one. I'm starting to get over it. I'm a fan and I'm starting to be like, dude, like
enough is enough.
Just let the people race. And I saw someone's comment today on one of those articles, and it's like, and yet again, another article about, oh, and I was like, no, the guy's right. Like, none of these, and I mean, they're all just attention grabbing, trying to get you to click on the ad, click on the article so you get some ads and generate revenue, whatever. But they're not posting about anything else right now. Anything.
Well, I know. Which is, but you brought it up, and I have to go there now.
Okay.
But since I'm on this roll of calling things, what did I say last week? I said when Pedro Acosta passed him, there had to be some fire in his helmet. There had to be something. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you know, all those million stories they're talking to him about, some of those stories have got quotes from him verifying what I said.
Yeah. And quotes from him saying a bunch of, yeah, that's why I didn't want to go into it. There's, you can get his whole, everything he said for the last 3 weeks spelled out in 95,000 different articles. Anyway, on other news, we're going back to Portimao, and that is this weekend. So this will come out on Wednesday. Thursday will be press conference. Friday, practice. Free practice Friday. That's not so free anymore. Saturday's quali in the race, and Sunday, or quali in the sprint. And Sunday's the race. So for me, in my time, pretty late morning. So across the U.S., this is another one of those ones. We got like these first three races that you can watch live. And so it's your opportunity to get back at all the football, basketball junkies out there right now and be like, this is better. Anyway, go watch it.
So what did you, on that note, what did you hear about? I keep seeing things where there's some U.S. channels that are airing it.
So there's always been a U.S. channel that has aired MotoGP. It's usually just so deep in the channel, like it's like channel 700 and something. As far as that goes, let me look into that.
This is like new for this year. There's some channels that are airing at least the main races because we're trying to get some American viewership up.
Yep. True TV Max.
Yeah, that one. That's probably channel 700, like you said, but.
Well, and so the hard part now is that there's all of these are different streaming services. Right. And so they'll give you a streaming service, and then you have to get that streaming service, and then you get their channels, and even then you don't always get the, it's, Interesting. NBC Sports? Question mark.
See, that would be big time.
It's not.
And for anybody at home that cares, I got Easton to watch Supercross this week.
I
don't know that he was that impressed.
I did watch Supercross this week. It was... I don't know if I was really into it. And I'll give you the same argument that I gave you before, which is that I haven't dedicated to it yet. And so I have no buy in anyone. I don't care who wins. I don't have a guy to root for. I don't know their backstory. I can't just hop in there and be like, well, that guy took first. He's my guy now. Because in motocross or supercross, whichever, you can't do that. Because he could just be taken first because everyone else has crashed out. So anyway, I don't have enough of the story to get fully invested. But it is exciting. It's interesting. It's nice because it's all in one day. And it's just like kind of jam-packed 5 or 6 hours, I'd say. And then you're done. So it's a lot more.
They hammer it out.
Yeah. A lot easier for the no attention span having Americans that we are. So.
And then they're on to the next week. You never have weeks off. Very seldom have weeks off. Once Supercross is over, it goes into motocross.
Yep. Very busy. So,
yeah, pretty much year round.
Which is good.
You can always find a dirt bike race.
Makes it easier. Also on Channel 600 or on Peacock TV.
Peacock?
So, which I was going to say Peacock for MotoGP, because when I was looking at the sports, it said like MotoGP, but I think it was just some highlights. But anyway, I don't know the best place to watch MotoGP. I can look into that if anyone wants. Leave us a comment down below and I'll do a little bit more research. I don't want to waste our time here tonight doing that for you guys.
We do know the best place to watch it, though. I can save everybody a bunch of time.
Yeah, just buy the app.
Just buy the app.
And MotoGP's app is the real deal. Like, it's done very well, very easy to watch. You can cast it to your TV, no problem. As soon as you pay for it, you have access to every video they've ever had on their website. So you can watch races back to like 1996. Go watch Rossi in some of his glory days. Go, like, when it's winter and they're not racing, I fall asleep to MotoGP like every night. So I just click on some race from whenever, watch it, fall asleep, and then watch the next one the next night. So it is sweet. Speaking of that, though, the real reason I brought up MotoGP is because if you haven't entered our fantasy yet, there are a couple of people that entered after the last race, so you're not necessarily dead last by yourself anyway. So go join our fantasy league at JK Moto Podcast. We'll have a link down in the description.
You're tied for last.
Yeah, you're tied for last if you join right now.
There's still time.
There is plenty of time. Get in there. Honestly, you could probably like use the boost this first week and boost yourself right up. I noticed our first place guy from last week, who has not reached out to us yet. We're still waiting. Please reach out if you want. Did use a boost. So not going to say that that's the only reason he's in first, but the boost is available. You only get three of them. So, but anyway, Cole, with all this racing going on, we had some World Superbike testing. We got some BMW news. We had the Daytona 200, which you already talked about. We had MotoGP's first official race, their next race coming up this weekend. And right after the day that this podcast episode airs, we transfer from the cold, harsh, dead winter, in America at least, to spring, which means the first official day of riding season. And I know not everyone is seeing that right now. My fellow listeners in Colorado and I don't know about Utah. Having the
Southern Utah up. Got hammered along with Colorado. But so
Colorado and parts of Utah, sorry. We feel for you, but I feel like this is an every-year thing and you guys should expect it at this point. If you want better weather, you can move somewhere else. Anyway, with that, great news. It's springtime. Racing's right around the corner. All the club racing is getting started back up. People are getting ready to go to their classes, their meetups, their whatever it is that you each do at your individual clubs. And I just want to put a quick plug out that it is your time. If you haven't thought about it, if you're driving to work right now and you're listening to this, or hopefully you're driving home because you're more likely to remember from this also, pull out that list of to-do things that you stuck in the toolbox last year at the end of the season and get those things done. because now is the time. And I had some interesting ideas on that.
Yeah.
I was just imagining, like, wrecking on your last weekend, which is okay. Wrecks happen. It's not a big deal. And you put a hole in your suit, and you're like, yep, sweet, whatever. I'll take care of that. In the off season, it'll be super easy. Just take it down to Anthony's Leatherworks or wherever it might be. And then it comes to your first race weekend, and you pull out your suit, having completely forgotten about that all winter long because you're busy eating chocolate and looking at people with long white beards and red suits and whatnot. And your suit still has a hole in it, and then you can't race. And I just thought that would be terrible. So that's why I wanted to put that reminder out that you should go pull out that to-do list and do those things, whatever they might be for you.
For us winter snowbirds, it's time to start at least thinking about getting the glycol removed from the bike, the water. Don't rush that one because we're still going to get at least two more cold snaps.
Yeah. Once again, if you're in Colorado or Utah, hold off on the coolant, leave the antifreeze in for a little bit, but everyone else, it's probably a good time. I know I de-winterized my RV a couple weeks ago and we're all good to go there. So
I was just going to say, it's not just a bike. It's not just a bike. I mean, now's a good time. I tinker on the bikes all winter, and the race trailer has been pickpocketed, has been, what do you call it? Tools have been taken, zip ties removed, you know.
The shop is leasing some things.
Yeah, things out of the trailer. That's on my quick list of things to do. I got to go back through the toolboxes in the trailer, make sure I got all them spare parts that inevitably come up at the track, things that you're going to need. Make sure that I got that thing stocked and ready to go for another year.
Yeah, I didn't think about the trailer. That's a good one, though, because, I mean, especially you got your trailer right outside in the garage, you keep all your stuff in there, and it's real easy between race weekends, be like, all right, use it real quick, put it back, I need it next weekend. But in the winter, it's like, I'll be using this in the shop again next week, I'll wait. So that's solid. I was going to mention tires. Check your tires. Check your dates on your tires. Check the...
I'm not going to check the dates on my tires. I'm not going to do it. Okay. Because I go through them so fast. They're all like 2 days old.
Yeah, that's fair. And everyone's in a different situation, right? So whatever key parts of this that you guys each need to take out individually, please. Well, Easton said to check the date of my tire. I just bought them yesterday, but they're a day old. I'm throwing them out. That's not what I'm asking you to do. Please don't do that. But check your dates. Check and make sure that we were talking with Chris Hamlet and talking about if you're cold, they're cold, bring them inside. If you've been storing your tires outside at all winter and it gets cold, have a second thought about that. At least be careful on your first round out. Be wary that that tire might not have the life that you thought it did. Anyway, yeah, it's just it's that time of year, whether you're riding on the road or the track. If you're on the road, you can do a shorter ride to go get a nice test ride. On the track, it's kind of like your first track day is still a track day. You're still out there and your testing is pretty hardcore. So it's more important, I would say, not that riding on the road isn't important to check all these things, but on the road, I can ride around my neighborhood. On the track, you got to go to the track and you got to do a track day. So more important to check all those things, make sure you got everything with you. The trailer tip that's good. Super good. I didn't even think about that. But that's because I empty my trailer out every time because I have to go park it off site. So anyway,
the other thing is if you're listening to us for advice, then we've already steered you wrong, because if you're the type of person that needs work done at a shop, if you're not doing it yourself, you have missed your window most likely.
I think I'm pretty sure we covered that last year.
I'm just saying, take a bike to a shop right now and they're going to be giving you lead times out to you know what.
Yeah, and that's true. It's also not the best time to buy a bike. It is a good time to sell a bike. What else? Well, is that true? Do I have that backwards because the whole supply demand thing?
No, it's usually easier to sell a bike in the spring because everybody sees the nice weather and they're like, oh man, I wish I had a bike.
This is my year. Yeah. What was I going to say? But no, we covered, I specifically remember last winter, it got to be winter and I was like, unless you're down in CVMA, this is your time to do all those things to the bike that you've been putting off and do them, right? So this is our cleanup from that. Hey, we got all that stuff done. Now let's make sure we got everything back in the trailer, got all the holes repaired. We actually did all the things on that list. And Cole is right. If you were like, oh yeah, I got to do that, and you just put that episode on your list and then you're now pulling out that list, you might be, but I don't think we steered you wrong. So yeah. I'm not taking the blame on that. That's all I'm going to say there.
fair enough.
Yeah, that was about all I had for the spring is coming, winter's gone discussion.
When's our next Moto America race?
Moto America. You know, I actually had the calendar brought up. Not for a minute. Not for a hot minute. A month. A month from the day this airs, they will be going to Road Atlanta. Unless you're counting the King of the Baggers down in Texas. But we need to talk about Moto America. They don't get as much action from us as they should. But I want your Moto America predictions this year.
Do you want me to put them in an envelope, seal it, and open it up at the end of the year?
Sure. If you want. I don't know. I'm just kind of curious.
It's money. So this year we're going to have a tight competition between all the second place riders.
So who's taking first?
So Gagne's going to win this thing again.
Okay.
I think Gagne's going to win this thing again. But second place, I don't even know. It could be Cam Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It could be Cam Bobier.
Yep.
It could be Josh Herron.
Yep.
And it could be Lauriz Baz making his comeback to Moto America on a Ducati.
Where is he? What the? What? Okay. I'm listening. They don't have his bio up yet.
He's back with Warhorse. He's sitting on the Ducati is now going to be a two bike team.
Okay. So right next to Josh Herron
and Herron and Baz, which will be quite interesting.
Yeah. It will be. Yeah. Now I'm kind of mad at Moto America a little bit because they don't have his bio up here. I'm looking at all the bios and I'm like, well, I didn't see Lauriz Baz and there's no bio for Lauriz Baz. So they're a little bit behind on their news. But okay.
You better fact check me now. I'm sure he's coming back.
All right. I will, since once again, we don't spread rumors. Lauriz.
What is Z?
Baz.
B-A-Z.
Yeah. Moto America. Okay. He is returning. This is from MotoAmerica.com. Frenchman Lauriz Baz is returning to Moto America Championship for 2024 with the... Well, they restarted it. Yeah, he says he wanted to come back to America, the same team. Yep, everything's there. Same team he had in 2021. He will be right next to Josh Herron on the Warhorse Ducati. And...
Man, it's like I almost know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's weird because they just don't have his bio up yet. On that, like if you go to their riders and all the bios, he's not there. But, heck yeah, two Ducatis. We got two.
There's that. Well, yep. Two. Next year, there might be more.
Two Ducatis, four or five BMWs? Six?
Well, Scheibe's still in there swinging.
Yeah, so it's interesting to pick those apart. But, okay. Jake Gagne on a Yamaha. Josh Herron on Ducati. We talked about that. Cam Bobier on a BMW, Matthew Schultz on a R1, question mark.
No.
Okay.
Where are you reading that?
This is on MotoAmerica.com. They're right, riders for Superbike. This must have been from last year, and they just haven't updated it yet.
So Matthew Schultz just announced today, coincidentally.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have it right here. So Squid Hunter, who is Josh Hayes, the team Josh Hayes rode for last year in Supersport.
Okay.
Squid Hunter has changed their name to Strack Racing.
Okay.
And they have Matthew Schultz and Ed Sullivan racing R6s, I presume.
Okay. So jumping out of the Superbikes?
Yeah. I noticed this post because the comments were funny to me. It must have potentially been in a hurry to get that announcement made. So Moto America posted it. It's got a picture of Schultz in his new suit standing in front of his new bike. And people were pretty quick to point out the Photoshop. Apparently it's a Bell helmet in the picture with HJC Photoshopped on top of it. There was a couple other things they pointed out. They were calling them the kings of Photoshop.
Nice.
Trying to get there. their pictures out.
Yeah, there it is. Road Racing World magazine. RoadRacingWorld.com. It says, former longtime West Bay Racing Yamaha Superbike rider Matthew Schultz has found a new ride in the Moto America Supersport Championship with Strack Racing, team formerly known as Squid Hunter Racing. Yep, cool. Cool, cool, cool. And yeah, so there you go. From RoadRacingWorld.com, not on MotoAmerica.com, which is where it should be. So if you work for Moto America and their website runners, please update your website. Stefano Mesa's on a BMW question mark this year. All right, I'm done with this. I'm not reading any of these because I don't know if any of them are true or not.
He was last year. I don't think he is this year. I don't know.
So anyway, Moto America's still a month out. They got time. They can fix their stuff.
That's going to be a good year, though.
It will be.
We say that every year, but I'm going to say it again.
But to be fair, this is only our second year. So it's not like we've been saying that for 20 years.
That's true, but I've been saying it for more years than that.
All right. Well, either way, I agree with you. I think it'll be a good year. I think the guys that are on BMWs, whoever they might be, should be. It'll be nice to have two Ducatis back at the front. And everyone that was Cam Beaubier, right? That's who I'm talking about. He had his year to come back, had some pretty big falls, wrecks, injuries. Hopefully, I mean, he was on top of his game last year, minus the injuries. So absolutely. Hopefully we have some good, clean racing right out the gate, and it's pretty exciting, and someone can... I won't say I don't agree with your predictions, because I kind of agree with them, but I'm hoping for that second place fight to
sneak
its way into
Jake. Nothing against Gagne. I'd like to see somebody different, but until you beat him, I can't go against him.
That's fair. That's fair. My only argument, and it's not really an argument, but my only hope or interesting point to put out is that the BMW, if we've got news, the BMW is thinking about going to MotoGP. It's clear they're in World Superbike for good, and they're constantly putting out new bikes, keeping up with technology, moving along. I mean, obviously we've seen some huge advancements on the S1000 and M1000 in the past 4 years. Ever since the new bike came out, they haven't stopped growing and growing, right? Yamaha hasn't been doing that. So theoretically, Yamaha's kind of always had America on lockdown for Moto America, I feel like, but
long time. Yeah. And
is that going to change because they're not really, I mean, they're, the R1 is leaving us.
There's only so far they can keep stretching that old bike.
Yeah. So,
but let's, that would, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that would be my argument for anyone that's like, well, I don't want to just watch a blue bike take off and win every race, is that these BMWs, they have the backing from BMW, I believe. They, BMW themselves, constantly upgrading, working harder. There's some pretty top names, good riders on the bikes this year. Ducati's doing the same thing. So
let's talk BMWs on the BMW show here. So,
okay,
Toprak wasn't really happy during that test with his bike. They'll work it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is their year to show some success.
Right.
They've already had some. They've had some failures and some victories already. But they'll be good. So BMW doing better in World Superbike already.
Mm-hmm.
Expect that trend to continue. Same argument with Moto America. BMW has now had some success in Moto America. I expect that trend to continue. But they've already had a lot of success in BSB. They're the ones that are selling bikes. They're the ones that are pushing the envelope for us street riders as well.
Yeah.
So I want them to be rewarded for that. The fact that they just keep kicking out 200 horsepower bikes for the street. They're selling bikes. They don't show no sign of, you know, quitting. So yeah.
Well, and the nice, so almost an argument against BMW going to MotoGP, it's going to be great to have another bike on the grid, another manufacturer, another factory, whatever you want to call it. Always great to, the more the merrier, right? Mixes it up with a little gives a different person a chance to shine. But the things that you're talking about almost stem from the fact that they don't have that. Because anything that BMW wants to race in World Superbike, and then that trickles down, they have to make that available on the street. Right? So those are production model bikes. Now, I understand there's a lot more that goes into it before everyone freaks out and yells at me, like, oh, it's nowhere near a production model bike. I understand a lot changes, but they have to have a good base package for their race teams to use. And so I don't know if that plays into it, but I would almost argue that because they're not focusing on all that technology and over MotoGP, they have to test that stuff. And in order to test it, they have to have a bike. In order to do that, they got to put one out to us, the consumer. So kind of a cool thing. I wouldn't ever say that I should stay away from MotoGP for that matter or for that reason, but interesting thoughts.
You know, one of the arguments we always have is BMW gets, they're selling more bikes than superbikes. They're selling more superbikes than anybody, I believe. Mm-hmm. They have done it without having to go to MotoGP. But so one of the questions that have come up is, if they go to MotoGP and fail, does that hurt them in the long run? Oh. And not to pick on anybody, but Aprilia, going to MotoGP has absolutely not hurt Aprilia. I mean, they've had some successes in recent years, but honestly, it was a circus all the way up until the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You mentioned last week when we were talking about their, you know, quality issues maybe is the wrong way to put that, but dependability issues or whatever on the track. I don't think any that hit them. People who love Aprilia and they root for Aprilia and MotoGP, and they, yeah, I don't know that you have to win to sell bikes in today's world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and especially in MotoGP, I don't know how much it affects it, because I mean, like, look at Honda. Honda runs a V4 in MotoGP. You ain't buying a CBR with a V4 in it.
Nope.
Like, it's not, you know, we could talk about the aero and how prototype these bikes are, but they're not the real deal. You can't go buy them. And so that would be my argument, is like, I'm not going to take Aprilia having electronics issues on the track just about every weekend. Not really going to take that as their street bikes have that problem, because they're not street bikes, one, and two, they're race. Like, even if they were the street bikes, like even if in World Superbike they were always having problems, I still probably wouldn't trace that back to, I would be more likely, but I want to trace it back to the one I buy at a dealer. So,
right.
No, I don't think it's theoretically, you know, BMW goes to MotoGP and has a terrible first season. Everyone's going to say, okay, it's their first season, whatever. They continue to have terrible seasons for 5-10 years. I don't see that hurting them in any way. Unless it shows, like, I don't know. If they went to MotoGP, had a terrible first season, and then the next year their bikes just were also terrible, then you'd be like, okay, I'd start to ask some questions. The likelihood of that is like zero, but that would be the only reason, only way I could see that turning bad for them.
All right. See, I got you back on talking MotoGP, and you didn't want... Excited for the race coming up?
Yeah. Yep.
For sure, but there's one more subject that I wanted to touch on.
All right, what do you got? Hit me.
So, I know that you had already talked about it a little bit, and maybe we should get a guest on to talk more about it. But let's touch on some local news, which I think is pretty big news. On okay. The sport, we constantly talk about growing the sport and how you grow the sport. And the thing that, one of the things we always come back to, mm-hmm. is, you got to get some Americans winning again. Big events. You got to get them on the world stage. You got to get them, you know, to grow the sport. Well, how do you do that?
With the kids.
With the kids. And we always say, well, how do you get, I mean, it's so much harder to try to get a kid, you know, street racing, not street racing.
Road racing.
Kids don't street race. It's dangerous. Fast and the Furious 27 is a bad example.
I agree.
So, but it's just, it's easy to go throw a kid in a backfield on a dirt bike. Easier than it is to go teach him how to run around an asphalt track.
Yeah. Well, and I also feel like it, to a parent or an adult that doesn't know or isn't educated, or even maybe there's some truth to it. I don't think there is. And we could talk about that later if you want, but it would appear safer, right? You grew up on a dirt bike. I grew up doing that. I did that when I was, you know, 10 or 12. My kid can do that. Everyone's got a dirt bike. We can do that. People don't go to the racetrack. And we've talked about that before.
So, very exciting news locally for us over here in Utah.
Yeah, I was going to say for you, not quite for me, but still exciting nonetheless.
Is USBA, the Utah Sport Bike Association, is hosting mini moto races this year, and they've been selected by Moto America to be one of the events that qualify the kids for bigger and better things.
Yep. The mini cup qualifiers is the official term there. Yeah. So that is on Moto America's website. Unlike the rider's bio.
Most important.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. It's saying USBA. So Utah Sport Bike Association. Right. I always want to say Superbike because I feel like everything else in the world is Superbike.
So do I. And to be fair, for anybody that's paying attention, I have said Superbike more than once in videos and in commentary on this. And I apologize. But yes, it is Utah Sport Bike Association.
Watch them change it this year, just to spite you. Utah Sport Bike Association will host the three qualifiers at Utah Motorsports Campus in Erda, Utah, also known as Tooele. I know it's not officially in Tooele, but Tooele is the bigger city there. The first of those will be held on April 28th, and then May 19th, and then June 23rd. So, Mission Mini Cup by Motul National Final will be held at Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, August 9th through the 11th. And I guess they're running interesting. So, it says they've got Motul classes of the GP160, GP190, which is going to be your Ovalis, a Street GP. Not sure what that is. And then stock 50, stock 110, and stock 125. And the picture definitely has a young kid on a Yamaha Pee-wee 50. So, yeah. I mean, that's super cool. That's awesome for USBA, for UMC, for everything. I think it's great that Moto America is even doing that at all for the reasons that we've talked about. We've talked about them a lot on here, and I talk to people all the time about it. Honestly, it's my biggest complaint is, and it might be deeper than that, but yeah, the best way to get Americans to watch motorcycle racing is to put an American in motorcycle racing, and one that'll win and do well. So we have something to root for. We don't like rooting for people that don't win. So,
So anyway. we need to get somebody on here to talk some more about that, because as you mentioned, the first one's April 28th.
April 28th.
My better half's already said that I need to volunteer because she'd like to go check that out. So go volunteer to be a flagger or something on that weekend.
Yeah.
Go put in some time and see what that's all about, because I know you have personal reasons to pay attention, and I know I have other family members that have a reason to pay attention. So we'll get some more details on that.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll work in the background a little bit and get someone that can talk a little bit more to it, or at least talk with us about it for a little while. We'll get you guys some more details on that for sure. And if you haven't ever heard of that, the Mini Cup, if this is your first time, one, we try and promote Moto America as much as possible. It's here in America. If it's local-ish. They don't have races everywhere, but relatively close to a lot of high-density areas. So if you're nearby, race, go check it out. You can get online, check out their calendar, go to a race. It'll be super great entertainment for really cheap. Most of the races go up on YouTube. And then if you haven't ever heard this whole Mini Cup and you've been wanting to do that with your kid, or you got a kid who's super into racing or super competitive, whatever it might be, and that's something you're interested in, go check it out. Get the info. We'll try to get you a little bit more info, because that is the best way we can help grow the sport, and not even from a growing it, like we got to get an American in MotoGP right now, but just in a, if we don't build racers from a young age, it's going to go away completely. Like,
and there are literally thousands and thousands of kids from those age groups that are racing motocross tracks every weekend around the whole entire United States. So anybody out there listening, get that kid that thinks he's fast and bring him out, put him in this, have him come stomp everybody. And I mean, who knows what avenues that might open up for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I thought I had something more on that, but I don't. But yeah, check out the Mini Cup. If you got kids, let's get it promoted.
I like it. And
anyway, with that, Cole, I have run out of topics for tonight.
I think we're good.
All right.
I think we're good. Let this one roll. We'll be, we said it before. We'll say it one more time. MotoGP, you'll be listening to this on a Wednesday. MotoGP will be all geared up, ready to go. And as some of them other series has fallen in place, we're going to have racing dang near every weekend for the rest of the year.
Yep. Be here to cover all your racing for you. We will still be getting some guests here and there and getting some good topics to throw in there for your guys' racing and just track riding and overall news. And quick shout out once again to Josh Bittinger. Those weekly riding tips will keep coming. So I hope you guys are enjoying those, paying attention. Go show him some love. Follow him on Instagram, Facebook. I think he actually has a YouTube channel. And if you're going to COTA, go check him out. He'll be at the Ride Smart tent. He's got some cool gadgets and training tools down there. So go check him out.
If you're going to be at COTA, hit us up. We'll be there.
Yeah. Also, come find us.
Yeah. Love to meet some of you. Hit us up on JK Moto Instagram.
Yeah. Send us a DM. I'll be checking it pretty frequently while we're there. See where everyone's at. We'll come say hi, hand out some stickers and whatnot. And yeah, go mark off your list. Get your bike de-winterized. Spring is here tomorrow, today, whatever day it is. I don't know officially when it starts, but spring is here. Let's get riding. Let's get racing. We'll see y'all next week.
All right. See you later. Thanks for listening.